Good evening, folks, and welcome to another episode of the Positude Podcast. I am your host, Maggie Hart, looking forward to spending another hour with you this week, sharing knowledge, spreading positivity, negating negativity, learning new things, and just enjoying each other's company. I always have said on my shows that I want you to feel as though we're just having a cup of coffee across the table or sitting in the living room on a comfy couch, chatting and sharing knowledge and just enjoying each other. And that's what I really strive for on my shows. I'd like for it to be a comfortable, positive, inviting atmosphere, but also one where you're able to possibly gain a new or different perspective. I want to open your mind up. I want to challenge you to think of things that maybe you hadn't before. And I'd like for you to come to know yourself better, to challenge yourself inside to become a better person. I'd like for you to reach into the darkest depths of your soul and really do a self-evaluation. And as a result, learn and grow in a positive environment, in a supportive environment, in a loving environment, but also at times in a somewhat stern environment, so that we can become disciplined enough to be able to navigate life and be able to find different tools and modalities of healing that work best for you and that you feel comfortable with interacting with and making a part of your normal lifestyle so that it becomes second nature to you. I want you to, more than anything, realize your full potential as a human being, your full potential as a loving, kind, gentle, smart, just all around great person, great soul, because you are. You are. And I don't think enough people really realize how wonderful they are and how special they are and how loved they are and how appreciated they are. I know it doesn't seem like that, especially in today's day and age, on a daily basis, whether it be in our workplace or in our personal lives or both, but not losing sight of how special and precious we are, not just to the people around us that care about us, because sometimes we're in a situation where it may not feel as though a lot of people do care about us or are concerned about us. And while I know that that's not the case, there's always the higher power. There's always the universe. There's always that higher energy that is absolutely pulling for us to do the right thing and to become a better human. And also letting us know that we're loved. And we are cared for, and we are valued, and we are special. It just takes sometimes a little bit of practice to be able to recognize when that energy is sent to us. And it's sent to us on a consistent level. It's sent to us all the time. It's just recognizing that. And being thankful. My puppy's snoring. She feels just so content in my energy that she lays down next to me, and just I pet her a little bit, and she just feels that loving, kind energy, and she just conks out and starts to snore. But anyway, what I also started to say is that energy is ingrained with us. It's imbued within us. It's part of who we are. It's just a matter of awakening that and opening up to be able to feel that in our inner core, inside of ourselves, in our true being, in our true souls. And when I say that, I mean not a perception of who we are, what we are inside of our souls. It's who we really are. It's all of the qualities that make us who and what we are by our Creator Source. And sometimes it's really hard to recognize who we really are and how beautiful we really are. And it's definitely a spiritual journey to be able to see in ourselves not only what maybe other people see in us, but what our creator source, what the universe, what God sees in us. One of the things I want to talk about tonight is there seems to be a really big uptick in, just as I was talking about 3 or 4 weeks ago now, healing the emotional trauma and dealing with ego. That seems to be something that a lot of podcasts are talking about now. And in relation to that as well, the whole alternate universe theory, that's something that I've seen crop up since I have started talking about it a while back. We've been talking about it for a really long time, actually, on the show off and on. But it seems funny to me that when I pray and meditate on a topic or what I should be talking about or what I should be focusing on, I find it funny that within a week or two or sometimes three, a lot of the famous people start to pick up the same topics and talk about them. So what does that mean? Are they listening to my program? Well, in all honesty, I know that there are some of them that are pretty big out there that do listen to my program, because when I was on a network that was reaching millions of listeners, they were listening to my shows. And the reason that I know that is because they were using direct, almost verbatim lines from my shows on their shows. So yeah, that's a part of it. However, from a more realistic standpoint and from a more accurate standpoint, for the most part, what I feel is what I've talked about so many times before. We are all connected. And as a result of raising the vibration and the energy of the planet, a lot of people are receiving the same types of downloads or the same types of information and meditation and prayer that they're guided to share with their listeners, because these are pertinent topics that are important to where we are in the timeline of things. And so it always fascinates me when it happens. It's been happening more frequently, it seems, the last several months. And the stuff that I've been talking about are pretty specific. So as a result, the topic that others are speaking about that are along the same thought process and in a lot of cases very specific, the same topic that I've been speaking about, it's pretty interesting to me. And it just further lets me know that's, you know, the universe, that's the higher powers letting me know that we're all on the right track in sharing this knowledge with all of you. And so I hope it's something that you can really grasp onto and listen to. And you may not always agree with our perspectives, but please be open to listening, because sometimes when we're in our own patterns of thinking and it's really deeply ingrained in us, it's very hard to see another point of view or another perspective. And let's not forget, the ego is at play, and so the ego could very well come in and say, well, that's not right. She's got it wrong, or he's got it wrong, or no, I don't see it that way. And when we jump to conclusions like that, when we're pondering a proposal or a sentiment or a statement that someone has made, it's really imperative that we stop at that moment and listen to our inner guidance and pray and meditate on it. And also understand that it's probably our ego that's already formed its own opinion as a way of self-protection, just like we've spoken about before on the shows about overcoming trauma and defeating the ego, that the ego is not going to let you open up to that new perspective or that new mindset, because it doesn't want you to be successful. It doesn't want you to be the better person. It's developed because of your past traumas, and it thinks that it's protecting you, but in effect, it's only hindering you and holding you back, if that makes sense. And so it's blocking you from new knowledge and new learning. And I've been telling people this for a long time, and I actually just spoke about it recently. When it seems as though things are the darkest, and when it seems as though we are under the most attack, whether it be spiritual attack or mental attack or a combination of both, because very typically a spiritual attack is a mental attack in a way, shape, in one way, shape, or form, and it usually is. It means that we're on the brink of an epiphany. It means that we're progressing in our personal development. And so basically, the bad guys are throwing everything but the kitchen sink at us to try and thwart that further progression, that spiritual uplifting, that progression of soul, to be a better person and to be able to deal with our traumas more effectively and more successfully. So just something to keep in mind. Since we have been starting to talk a little bit about codependency, I did want to talk about that a little more this week and concentrate a little bit on the spiritual perspective, i.e. the Christian perspective in relation to codependency, because what I've come to understand is that sometimes that's also a slippery slope with Christians. They tend to confuse the Christian perspective with codependency, and I think that becomes an issue for some people. So I'd like to elaborate on that a little bit more. And then later on in the show, I want to talk about some tools and devices and natural healing modalities that we can utilize to become healthier insofar as a few different topics, actually. EMF radiation is definitely a cause for concern, and I had a personal instance this past week where NIMO came in and put in a new smart meter, and I was unaware that I had the option to tell them I didn't want it, because when I'd read about it, I was told that the state that I have the residence in was not open for a choice as to whether or not you got the smart meter. But so as a result, there are some technologies out there that are available that I've been researching that have had pretty good response from and pretty good reviews on, things that you can utilize and plug into your home to negate the EMF, and air purifiers also, things like charcoal activators and neutralizers for EMF that you can also wear on your body and attach to your homes, and some natural cures as well, and ways to eradicate the spike protein from the body, because that's been a topic that I've wanted to address for a while, and I have before, but I wanted to revisit that. So those are things we'll talk about later in the show, and also some positive stories as well. Getting started with the codependency in Christianity, one of the things that I found, and this also is spoken about in the book Codependent No More by Melody Beattie that I've been referring to off and on, is the demon of low self-worth. So whether or not you believe in demons or from a Christian perspective, you understand what a demon is. There are many different types of demons or things that are pitfalls in our lives, and low self-worth is one of those. And the book says, however, at the heart of most rescues, and we're talking about how we're rescuing people and becoming codependent as a result because we feel like we have to rescue these people to make ourselves feel good and, you know, for a variety of reasons, is a demon, low self-worth. We rescue because we don't feel good about ourselves. Although the feelings are transient and artificial, caretaking provides us with a temporary hit of good feelings, self-worth, and power. Just as a drink helps an alcoholic momentarily feel better, a rescue move momentarily distracts us from the pain of being who we are. We don't feel lovable, so we settle for being needed. We don't feel good about ourselves, so we feel compelled to do a particular thing to prove how good we are. We rescue because we don't feel good about other people either. Sometimes with justification, sometimes without, we decide other people simply cannot be held responsible for themselves. Although this may appear to be true, it simply is not a fact. unless a person has brain damage, a serious physical impairment, or as an infant, that person can be responsible for him or herself. And we did talk a little bit about this last week. Sometimes we rescue because it's easier than dealing with the discomfort and awkwardness of facing other people's unsolved problems. We haven't learned to say, it's too bad you're having that problem. What do you need from me? We've learned to say, here, let me do that for you. So yeah, if we're in a state of low self-esteem, sometimes this can make us feel better temporarily. But we need to be able to perform from a place of where we're healed and we're whole and we're complete and we're able to give and share what a person needs while protecting ourselves at the same time, not giving too much of ourselves to where our cup is empty. And we talked about that a little bit last week too. So broaching the Christianity topic, many codependents have been taught other ways to be caretakers. Maybe someone taught us these lies and we believed them. Don't be selfish. Always be kind and help people. Never hurt other people's feelings because we make them feel. Never say no and don't mention personal wants and needs because it's not polite. We may have been taught to be responsible for other people but not responsible for ourselves. Some women were taught that good, desirable wives and mothers were caretakers. Caretaking was expected and required of them. It was their duty. Some men believe good husbands and fathers are caretakers, superheroes responsible for meeting every need of each family member. The book then goes on to elaborate, just for those who may not understand that, of course, if you're caring for an infant or a child, that's a different scenario until that person becomes old enough to be able to care for themselves in some capacity. And at that point, if it continues, depending on how it's handled, it may become a codependent attitude. But it goes on to say, others, and I am skipping around as I always do, others may have interpreted religious beliefs as a mandate to caretake. Be cheerful givers, we are told. Go the extra mile. Love our neighbors. And we try. We try so hard. We try too hard. And then we wonder what's wrong with us because our Christian beliefs aren't working. Our lives aren't working either. Christian beliefs work just fine. Your life can work just fine. It's the rescuing that doesn't work. Rescuing leaves us bewildered and befuddled every time, the book says. It's a self-destructive reaction, another way codependents attach themselves to people and become detached from themselves. It's another way we attempt to control, but instead become controlled by people. So there's that control again that we've spoken about before. Wanting to come in when someone vocalizes a situation and swoop in and take over and deal with what we would feel would be in a more effective solution to their problem and controlling the situation. What I would have done is this, or I would handle things this way. Or they'll just step in and take over and handle the situation that they feel is the most adept way to do so. That's a form of control. And you're taking freedom away from that other individual that needs to be allowed to successfully navigate that situation and handle it in a way that they feel is the best way. It may not be the right way. Your way may be better. Their way may be better. But it still should be their personal choice. If they ask you for help in a situation, you can always take the route of talking the situation out, talking about how the other person felt, talking about their experience, and then together come up with a solution to fix the problem. Maybe if it's the case of an individual that was abrasive or hurtful or harmful to them, approaching the person together as a friend or as a couple and dealing with the situation that way, but still allowing that primary person who's having the situation to maintain some sort of control. As much as you want to help, be careful that you're not trying to control the situation, because that's not a good way to handle things. What can happen is that can actually start to cause some feelings of resentment in the other person. And it could also make them wonder, well, why do they think I can't handle my own situations? I'm a big person. I'm an adult. I've gotten through this far in life effectively without them handling my situations. Why do they feel as though I can't handle them now? I've actually used this expression myself in the past, and I've heard many people say this in the present. What do you think I did before you came along? I was able to handle and navigate my own situations. I appreciate your concern. I appreciate your caring. I appreciate your feedback. But let me handle my own things. So, and if they want your help, again, you know, talk about it. Maybe brainstorm different solutions. And then if they want your support, be there for them as a source of support. But please don't try and control the situation, because that's not going to be effective for either one of you. What I've come to learn is, if we don't have a lot of expectations from a person or a situation, and I've talked about this before on my shows, then we really can't be disappointed. Try and go more with the flow. Take a deep breath and sit back, relax, and let things happen as the universe intends them, as higher power intends them to happen. Like we've talked about before, the more we try and push and pull, it's going to just delay our bountings and our blessings from coming to us. So, particularly from the biblical perspective, the book goes on to say, most of us have heard the biblical parable about Mary and Martha. While Mary sat and talked with Jesus and his friends, Martha cleaned and cooked. Before long, the story goes, Martha started banging pans, accusing Mary of being lazy. Martha complained that she had to do everything while Mary relaxed and enjoyed herself. Does this sound familiar? Jesus didn't let this one go by. He told Martha to hush. Mary knows what's important, he said. Mary made the right decision. His message might be that Mary made the right choice because it's more important to enjoy people than it is to cook and clean. But I also believe there's a message here about taking responsibility for our choices, doing what we want to be doing, and realizing how we become angry when we don't. Maybe Mary's choice was right because she acted as she wanted to. Jesus helped many people, but he was honest and straightforward about it. He didn't persecute people after he helped them, and he asked them what they wanted from him. Sometimes he asked why, too. He held people responsible for their behavior. I think caretaking perverts biblical messages about giving, loving, and helping. Nowhere in the Bible are we instructed to do something for someone, then scratch his or her eyes out. Nowhere are we told to walk the extra mile with someone and then grab the person's cane and beat them or him or her with it. Caring about people and giving are good, desirable qualities, something we need to do. But many codependents have misinterpreted the suggestions to give until it hurts. We continue giving long after it hurts, usually until we are doubled over in pain. It's good to give some away, but we don't have to give it all away. It's okay to keep some for ourselves, the book says. It also says, I believe God wants us to help people and share our time, talents, and money. But I also believe he wants us to give from a position of high self-esteem. I believe acts of kindness are not kind unless we feel good about ourselves, what we are doing, and the person we're doing it for. I think God is in each of us and speaks to each of us. If we absolutely can't feel good about something we're doing, then we shouldn't do it, no matter how charitable it seems. We also shouldn't do things for others that they ought to and are capable of doing for themselves. Other people aren't helpless, neither are we. God told us to lose our lives. He told us to give to people, says the Reverend Daniel John, senior pastor at Trinity Lutheran Church in Stillwater, Minnesota. But I don't think he ever intended people to use the scriptures to behave in unhealthy ways. It goes on to say, giving to and doing things for and with people are essential parts of healthy living and healthy relationships. But learning when not to give in, and when not to do things for and with people are also essential parts of healthy living and healthy relationships. It's not good to take care of people who take advantage of us to avoid responsibility. It hurts them and it hurts us. There is a thin line between helping and hurting people, between beneficial giving and destructive giving. We can learn to make that distinction. Caretaking is an act and an attitude. For some of us, it becomes a role, an approach to our entire lives and to all the people around us. Caretaking is, I believe, closely associated with martyrdom, a state codependents are frequently accused of being in, and people-pleasing, another accusation hurled at us. Martyrs, according to Ernie Larson, screw things up. We need to keep sacrificing our happiness as well as others for the good of some unknown cause that doesn't demand sacrifice. People pleasers, according to Ernie Larson, can't be trusted. We lie. And as caretakers, we don't take care of ourselves. The most exciting thing about caretaking is learning to understand what it is and when we are doing it, so we can stop doing it. We can learn to recognize a rescue. Refuse to rescue. Refuse to let people rescue us. Take responsibility for ourselves and let others do the same. Whether we change our attitudes, our circumstances, our behaviors, or our minds, the kindest thing we can do is remove the victims, ourselves. The book says, whether codependents appear fragile and helpless or sturdy and powerful, most of us are frightened, needy, vulnerable children who are aching and desperate to be loved and cared for. This child in us believes we are unlovable and will never find the comfort we are seeking. Sometimes this vulnerable child becomes too desperate. People have abandoned us emotionally and physically. People have rejected us. People have abused us, let us down. People have never been there for us. They have not seen, heard, or responded to our needs. We may come to believe that people will never be there for us. For many of us, even God seems to have gone away. We have been there for so many people. Most of us desperately want someone to finally be there for us. We need someone, anyone, to rescue us from the stark loneliness, alienation, and pain. We want some of the good stuff, and the good stuff is not in us. Pain is in us. We feel so helpless and uncertain. Others look so powerful and assured. We conclude the magic must be in them, so we must become codependent on them. We become dependent on their approval. We become dependent on their presence. We become dependent on their need for us. We become dependent on their love. Even though we believe we will never receive their love, we believe we are unlovable and nobody has ever loved us in a way that met our needs. I'm not saying codependents are peculiar ducks because they want and need love and approval. Most people want to be in a love relationship. They want a special person in their lives. Most people want and need friends. Most people want the people in their lives to love and approve of them. These are natural, healthy desires. A certain amount of emotional dependency is present in most relationships, including the healthiest ones. But many men and women don't just want and need people. We need people. We may become driven, controlled by this need. Needing people too much can cause problems. Other people become the key to our happiness. And then skipping around, sometimes no human being could be there for us the way we need them to be, to absorb us, care for us, and make us feel good, complete, and safe. Many of us expect and need other people so much that we settle for too little. We may become dependent on troubled people, alcoholics, and other people with problems. We may even convince ourselves that we can't live without someone and will wither and die if that person is not in our lives. The author says, I believe much of the other-centeredness orbiting our lives around other people goes hand-in-hand with codependency and springs out of our emotional insecurity. I believe much of this incessant approval seeking we indulge in also comes from insecurity. The magic is in us, not us, we believe. The good feelings are in them, not us. The less good stuff we find in ourselves, the more we seek it in others. They have it all. We have nothing. Our existence is not important. We have been abandoned and neglected so often that we also abandon ourselves. Needing people so much, yet believing we are unlovable and people will never be there for us, can become a deeply ingrained belief. Sometimes we think people aren't there for us when they really are. Our need may block our vision, preventing us from seeing the love that is there for us. So there are some thoughts on codependency from this author's perspective and also my own. When we're in a state of low self-esteem and we don't realize who we truly are and we don't have confidence in our abilities, we all have that magic. Trust me, we do. And in some scenarios, people can create a mutual form of magic. They can create that magic together as a couple, whether it be romantically or familially, or even from a friendship perspective. But the most beauteous relationships are those that have mutual magic, i.e., each person knows and respects who they are as an individual and works to further solidify the relationship with the other individual from a healthy perspective. Coming from a perspective of, I'm learning and growing and I'm the best person that I can be and I have all of myself around me, who I truly am, if that makes sense. And I'm able to share and spread that to others, but also share that with someone special. And I can appreciate their qualities and their magic. And when those two magics come together, wow, that can be truly amazing. That can be something that, you know, creates miracles and just propels the couple forward to heights that they never believed possible. And I think that is true, especially now. We talked about the twin flame relationship several months ago, and I think that as we broach these precipitous times that are ahead of us, more and more couples, more and more people are being drawn into these types of relationship, and it's to varying degrees of forward propulsion and higher heights, depending on what their missions are. And I know that sounds kind of new agey, but when we look at it from also a biblical perspective and the free will perspective and how Jesus said, you know, you're going to be able to do everything that I could and more, that's all relative. So whatever your spiritual beliefs, know that we are absolutely changing and evolving as humanity as a whole. And these people are being brought into our lives for very specific reasons, so that we can utilize each other's gifts and talents, not only to be in a successful relationship, but also to further the world, the planet, to help everything as a whole. With that, I think it's time to take a break. We'll be back after this musical interlude by my good buddy Pat Carr. Pat's a wonderful musician, originally from Louisiana. You can reach him at http://www.itunes.com/Pat Carr. Please check him out on SoundClick, Reverb Nation, iTunes. He is just all over the place. And support his music. Tell him Maggie sent you. He also is responsible for my introductory and end music. And if you'd like to support the network, please, please do so. Get in there and contact the owner. You can check out the chat room and participate in that. Please keep it positive. However, we don't allow any negativity or rudeness in our chat room. No trolls or bots. And just go in and maybe meet new people. Talk to somebody. Check out the other shows on the network. Anything that you could do to financially support our network would be so gratefully appreciated at this time. So buy a cup of coffee, click the donate button, whatever you'd like to do. And if you have your own business and want to be a superstar, please consider being a sponsor on the network, whether it be for my show or any other, and just the network in general. If you don't have a professional commercial, I'm sure that the owner and producer would be happy to come up with something that'll just thrill you and knock your socks off. And it's a great way to promote your business as well as supporting our journey as well. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back after this.
love you, give it to you free. Expect the best, babe, get it from me. I wanna love you, give it to you free. I wanna love you, I wanna give it to you free. Expect the best, baby, gonna get it from me. Wanna love you.
And we're back. You're listening to the Positude Podcast with Maggie Hart. That was Expect the Best from my good buddy Pat Carr. Please support his music. Now we're going to get into the technological side of healing. And with not only seasonal and environmental allergies, but also the potential that bad things are being sprayed into our environment, there are a couple of different products that I'd like to make everybody aware of. Please do your research. These products are to be used as a general source of information. You may find another product that's even more better made or has better reviews or is more affordable for yourself and your family. But all of these products, as well as some natural things I'm going to provide to you later on in the show, should help you in your struggles to maintain a healthy environment, and if you're feeling under the weather, to get you back to speed. The first is a PIP Max portable air purification system. And this looks to be a very amazing machine. It's about, I think, $375 on Amazon. How it works: the PIP Max plugs directly into your existing electrical outlet, can be installed in any room, and provides an additional outlet on the unit housing. Quickly and reliably solve all of your air quality problems with the portable power of a PIP Max active air purification system. The indoor air quality in your home or office can be 5 times more polluted than the outdoor air, primarily because indoor air is not properly sanitized. There are added contaminants that are simply not filtered out of the air or removed from surfaces, but instead accumulate again over time. This happens because bacteria, viruses, mold spores, and other toxins are sometimes too small to be stopped by standard passive filtering methods. So since you spend up to 90% of your time indoors, it's important to consider the impact these pollutants can have on your long-term health. When you plug in the PIP Max, it says, you'll notice the difference in the quality and freshness of the air you breathe and wonder why you did not take this simple measure sooner. The ad also says, with PIP Max, You can protect your family and help protect the environment at the same time. PitMax uses Remy Halo active cleaning technology that directly targets the pollutants. That means when someone sneezes in your home, PitMax jumps into action, actively working to reduce the contaminants. And because PitMax is a portable unit, you can take it anywhere. You get that peace of mind throughout your home, office, or hotel room. It operates silently and continuously, so once it's installed, the only thing you'll notice is how fresh your home smells and how comforting it is to protect everyone around you. Installation is quick and easy. Just plug in the portable device in an electrical outlet. Silent and continuous operation with technology destroying pollutants at the source. Automatic self-cleaning ionizers designed to reduce dust, dander, and pollen, which is especially beneficial for allergy and asthma sufferers. An adjustable fan speed fit span feed switch, and a 2-year limited warranty. It helps to reduce odors, helps prevent the spread of bacteria and viruses, toxins and pollutants. It's good for home and office application. The website says that the way that this works is just like the Remy Halo, which must be another one of their products. It disperses natural concentrations of gaseous hydrogen peroxide throughout your home, reducing viruses, bacteria, mold spores, and odors in minutes. Low levels of airborne hydrogen peroxide are quietly throughout the space you have the unit plugged in, so you get the fresh air where you need it. Now, I know of somebody that's used this product, and ostensibly there was a very foul odor in the air. And after running the machine for 24 hours, there was absolutely no instance of that odor in the air, as well as the air being purified. And I like this machine, or at least the idea of this machine, or something similar to it. I'm not paid for any of these products or endorsing any of these products because I'm supported or getting these products for free or anything like that. I just happened to do some research, and this is one of the ones that was brought to my attention. But the fact that it uses the hydrogen peroxide is fascinating to me, and I feel that that would be more effective because research hydrogen peroxide in the blood and in the oxygen levels and the many benefits to using hydrogen peroxide. In fact, there was a scenario where many people were recommending that people put certain concentrated amounts of hydrogen peroxide into nebulizer machines to purify the lungs as a result of combating COVID and preventing COVID. So I definitely think this product is something to check into, and I think it's something that I'm going to be ordering for myself as a result. Another one that I found is called the Triad Air Purifier, and that one also says that it can reduce and disintegrate particles, eliminate dangerous gases, and purify your breathing space. As a proactive air purification system, the Triad Air Purifier actively absorbs viruses, VOCs, bacteria, or any other harmful element. It's designed to offer air purification coverage of 250 to 3,000 square foot of open space. The advanced technology features incorporated in the Triad Air Purifier are known to effectively inactivate and eradicate mold, bacteria, and viruses. The room air purifier is designed to operate 24/7 to enable its advanced technologies to eradicate all organic toxins and provide clean air. The Triad Air Purifier is lightweight and portable, and in terms of its modes, is entirely user-friendly. While this unit also utilizes the negative ionization process that the first one, the PIP, does, it does look as though it covers more square footage. The other one, I think, is 900 to 1,000 square feet, if I'm not mistaken. However, the Triad lists at $1,295 for the whole house unit versus, like I said, it was, I think, the $375 on Amazon for the other. However, the Triad does have a plug-in portable unit that's about $149, and I don't know if the PitMax offers anything like that. I didn't see anything like that on their website, if they do. Another way that you can do this naturally and much more cost-effectively is something that I've had in my home since the inception of COVID. Absolutely is not going to be as effective as an air purification system, but if you're not in a financial position to be able to afford one of those units, You can buy for a very modest expense. It used to be more when COVID first came out. However, they have come down a lot in price, are the charcoal air purifying bags. And there's been a lot of positive results with these as well. We know that houseplants, certain houseplants especially, can purify the air. So absolutely get some spider plants and get some plants into your household to help to purify your environment. But these charcoal air purifying bags are made from activated charcoal, and the pores on the charcoal pieces absorb bacterial toxins, pet dander, dust, pollen, and other airborne contaminants that fall within the size range, at least on this site, Plentiful Air. It says the pores on charcoal pieces measure 0.65 to 1.4 nm and can absorb bacterial toxins, pet dander, dust, pollen, and other airborne contaminants that fall within the size range. So it says the air purifying bags are linen bags containing bamboo charcoal that are used to remove dust, bacteria, molds, odor, and other contaminants from the environment. Burning the culms or stems of mature bamboo plants helps create a charcoal material that is highly porous and thus easily traps and absorbs molecules. The absorbent nature of bamboo charcoal makes it an excellent organic and inexpensive product for air purification. Linen, an absorbent, breathable, and biodegradable substance, perfectly complements bamboo charcoal's sustainability and eco-friendly nature and is therefore considered an ideal cover when making air purifying bags. Besides linen, some brands also use jute and cotton as bag covers because they are readily available and affordable. How does it work? They essentially comprise linen cover and charcoal particles. Here's how the two components work to provide air purification. The charcoal bags are placed in direct sunlight for 2 to 3 hours to activate the charcoal before use. When the UV radiation from the sun falls onto the charcoal, it causes the pores to expand. Activation is essential for air purification as it naturally increases the surface area of the charcoal, which in turn increases the absorbent sites. The surface area of a single gram of activated charcoal measures an incredible 10,000 square feet. Fortunately, active air circulation through the bag is not required for purification. Instead, as air simply passes over the bag, the pores trap the contaminants, moisture, and odor molecules. The porous nature and massive surface area make activated charcoal so effective, it is also used in many air purifiers. The linen covering facilitates air purification in the following ways. Linen is highly permeable and allows the maximum amount of pollutants to pass through to the activated charcoal for absorption and removal from the surrounding air. It is lint-free and has a long lifespan. Linen can hold up to 20% water of its weight, meaning it can absorb excessive moisture from the environment without getting damp. After using it consistently for some time, 1 to 3 months, the bag is recharged to remove all of the trapped pollutants. This reduces pore saturation and enables the bag to purify air more efficiently. Contaminants removed by bamboo air purifying bags, VOCs, or volatile organic compounds, are gas molecules emitted by certain solids. Several VOCs, such as benzene, formaldehyde, xylene, etc., are commonly found in the environment. Apart from causing a foul smell in the air, these compounds also pose a severe health risk. The millions of pores in the activated charcoal trap these gas particles and eliminate their nasty odors while keeping the health hazards of the VOCs at bay. Pet dander. They're microscopic and easily become trapped in the minute charcoal pores. Dust. The dust particles get stuck to the charcoal surface and adhere to it for months. This way, the charcoal bags serve as a practical yet inexpensive solution to counter air pollution. Bacteria and pathogens. While it does not necessarily trap all bacteria, it does reduce their virulence. Research suggests that activated charcoal lowers the binding capacity of bacterial flora. Since binding capacity is an essential determinant of bacterial pathogenicity, air purifying bags protect against bacterial infections. Charcoal also absorbs bacterial toxins, a substance produced by bacteria to induce pathogenicity and infection. How effective are they? Thanks to his vast surface area and millions of microscopic pores, air-purifying charcoal bags are quite effective in purifying the air. But while they can be considered a practical alternative to deodorant sprays for odor removal, you cannot entirely depend on them for proper air purification. They're primarily manufactured for use in small spaces, placing them in closets, refrigerators, cars, gym bags, and other closed indoor spaces is ideal. They're affordable, they're odorless, and they are effective for air purification. They're safe for your health, they're non-toxic for pets, they're biodegradable. Do they work for allergies? It does help to control. Here are some of the common airborne allergens that trigger hypersensitivity: pollen, spores, mites, pet dander, and chemicals. And charcoal bags can trap all of those. So they also help to remove dust. But they do have their limitations with removing dust, as they cannot absorb large dust particles. They are only also effective in a small area. They can last up to 2 years, and then the material starts decomposing, which is good to know, because I've had mine for a little over that time, so it's probably due for a replacement. What I do regularly is I take them and I kind of squish them together and then put them out in the sunlight for a day or so just to purify them again, and then bring them back into the house. That's something that I've been doing pretty regularly. So there you go. That's another way to help that's less expensive if you're interested. EMF radiation is a big one. I recently came across this, as I said, with my power company putting in a smart meter against my better judgment, but I didn't know I had a choice. There's a company called Bond Charge, and Bond Charge makes a plethora of products that I think are really cool. They have a baseball hat that you can wear that protects you from radiation, so you could wear that at your home and office. That's only $64.95. They have the radiation blocking laptop mat. They have the blocking phone pouch. They have a beanie hat that looks like a knit hat. That's $74.95. They have underwear. They have a pillowcase, a laptop bag, a blocking hoodie for $199. So they have a lot of products that are also pretty cool as well. They also have the earphones for you to be able to use your phone. They have the bracelets, which are really cool. So if you like jewelry, it's great to be able to wear a bracelet to help you to block the EMF signals. They have the blue blocking and computer glasses as well. And then finally, there's a company that I came across called Altera. They actually have a Memorial Day sale going on where they have the whole house EMF neutralizing plug, which is 110 volts for $72.25, normally $85, and then the neutralizer 3x pack for $34. I'm not sure what that is. And their whole house EMF neutralizer is $72.25. So environmentally speaking, they have a car one too, $72.25. Family pack 5G EMF protection with whole house USB, $160.65. So those seem pretty reasonable to me, and I feel as though they're very important. There's also a USB plug adapter for house or car USB for $7.65. So do your research, but both the air purification and the EMF, they're kind of neutralizers rather than preventative measures, actually, I think are great ways to help to protect yourselves and your families. And it's unfortunate that we have to worry about these things, but I feel as though they're very essential for our well-being. If you're stressed, if you're anxious, if you're depressed, if you're angry, a lot of the reason you may be feeling this way is because of the pollutants, the toxins, and absolutely the EMF radiation that's seeping into your home. Also, the feelings of lethargy and joint pain, all of that could be attributed to the toxins in our air and the EMF frequencies. Headaches are another thing. Next week, I'm going to go into the spike protein detoxes. Even though I've covered that before on previous shows, I want to revisit that again because people are still suffering side effects of that. For my positive segment, a thread from Alpaca Aurelius, I found this on Telegram, 23 tips to be your hottest, healthiest and happiness in 2023. And I'm going to condense some of these just due to time. Number one, everything popular is wrong. You have to be insane to be normal today. Go all in on what makes you weird. Number two, you're evolved to require sun, play, connection, meat, fresh air, movement, sleep, and love. Get these things daily. Number three, get a win every day, even if it's small. Work on a new exercise at the gym, clean your room, write something online. You need to win at things in life or your brain will literally rewire itself as a loser, slowing energy production, mood, and motivation. Number four, best advice I've ever received. If your life isn't where you want it to be, use your weekends and weeknights to build the life you want instead of escaping from it with drugs, alcohol, and porn. Number five, gut-irritating foods are one of the biggest causes of illness. Avoid anything that makes you feel gassy, bloated, or tired. Common irritants are nuts, seeds, grains, legumes, and FODMAPs. Number six, your outer world is a reflection of your inner world. Most people spend their whole lives manipulating the world around them to feel better inside. Improve your state of mind and the world around you. You will naturally align in harmony. Seems fake until you witness it happen. Number seven, diet-wise, the best macros to raise energy I generally recommend are 1.6 grams to kilogram body weight of protein, 1 to 2 times the grams of carbs, and the rest in saturated fat. Number eight, beef liver and oysters are the most nutrient-dense foods in the world. Adding just a few ounces weekly can transform your health. Number nine, tap water is poison. Avoid at all costs. Do not drink it. Do not bathe in it. Do not even look at it. Number 10, you breathe more than you do anything else in the world, and most people are doing it wrong. Slow, quiet, long inhales and exhales through the nose, not short and shallow through the mouth. Number 11, pro tip, tell restaurants you're deathly allergic to the hexane in seed oils and they need to cook with butter. Number 12, wake up earlier. The hours between 4 a.m. and 7 a.m. are revered in every religion as magical. 9 p.m. to 5 a.m. is my favorite sleep schedule. Number 13, phone on airplane mode, 2 hours in the a.m. and 2 hours in the p.m. How you start and end your day shapes your life. Number 14, an hour before bedtime, some candles, read a sacred or ancient text, journal, and visualize your highest self. I guarantee this changes your life. Stop wasting the time on Netflix. Number 15, you're not going to be healthy if you're not cooking 90% of your own meals, 90% plus of your own meals. Number 16, zero tolerance with porn, weed, and vapes. Terrible for your mind, body, and soul. Number 17, figure out a way to make money for yourself anywhere in the world. Nothing will free you more. Number 18, the news is helpful only to learn what not to do. Number 19, for every hour you spend on social media, spend 30 minutes reading a book. Nobody reads anymore, and in doing so is an incredible competitive advantage. Number 20s, ladies, quit the pill and explore natural alternatives like fertility awareness. There's nothing more important for your health and well-being than attuning yourself with your cycle. Number 21, stop chasing a relationship. Chase your purpose and the relationship will start to chase you. Number 22, touch the earth with your bare feet every single day. This is the most anti-inflammatory and calming thing you can do. And finally, 23, spend at least 15 minutes, preferably longer, dedicated to calming your nervous system a day. Things like meditation, prayer, breathwork, and yoga. We're so overstimulated today and it's causing everyone to age rapidly. So while I can expound or change some of those, they're very good key points to follow for a better, healthier, happier life. Thank you all so much for listening. We'll be back next week. Please take care of yourselves and each other. I appreciate each and every one of you. Good night, everybody.